Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. Got a real treat for you guys out there. Today, I am chatting with Professor Joshua Mitchell. He has affiliations with Washington University back in D.C. And also with Claremont McKenna in California. Both incredibly great schools. Josh is a professor of primarily politics, government, I guess is the correct way to put it. After chatting with him off mic for close to half an hour, I have to say he is one of the best qualified individuals I have ever chatted with regarding American politics. Josh, thank you so much for taking your time, sir.
My pleasure, Al. Good to speak with you.
Hey, Josh, I'm scared to death about what's going on in the country right now. Do you have an opinion, sir?
Well, I am as well. It was supposed to be the year of unity, and it doesn't look like it's going to be. I'm characterizing this year as the year of the scapegoat. It looks to me that anyone who is somehow opposed to the agenda of the Biden administration and more broadly to identity politics is going to be labeled an insurrectionist or a racist, and this is really a terrible condition for our country to be in.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm far from a racist, and I can prove that in many, many ways by my own actions, etc. I hate to have somebody label me in a derogatory sense like that. What do you think, Josh, the agenda of the Liberal Party is right now?
Well, it looks to me like they're going to double down on identity politics, and that's what I wrote about in my book, American Awakening, Identity Politics and Other Afflictions in Our Time. The idea of identity politics is very different than what America was founded on. And I should just say something very briefly about that.
I'd like you to.
America was founded on limited government. But you know, and I could talk about the founders and sing their praise. But really what that means was that the people who founded the country believed that American citizens didn't need a strong armed government. That through our institutions, our families, our churches, our civic associations, and our capacity for self-government, we could get most of the work done by ourselves. And so I call that the liberal politics of competence. And liberal doesn't mean left. We have to be very clear. There's left, liberal, and conservative. So the Americans were liberal in the old classical sense, and they believed in the competence of their citizens. So what I set up in the book and what I think is the real challenge for us today is the tension between the liberal politics of competence and what I call the identity politics of innocence and transgression. And that's the direction the left is moving. And what I mean by that is that the left increasingly is of the mind that the only question that's relevant is whether you are an innocent victim or whether you're one of the guilty transgressors who's responsible for the victimhood of the innocents. Now, make no mistake about it. I am not saying America is pure. There's no country on earth that's pure. The question, though, for me is whether the rule of law and the Constitution and the checks and balances we have in place are adequate to address the problems that we have. And I think the civil rights movement suggested that it was. And my concern is that what identity politics wants to do is completely throw out this constitutional order of the American founders because they say America is systemically racist, that people who wrote it, the Constitution, were guilty of whiteness, and so whiteness is now a crime. This is a really horrible moment for our country. We have to be able to build a world together with people we disagree with.
Yes.
And if we don't, our lunch is going to be eaten by China, frankly, which is already about to exceed us in terms of its gross domestic product. So we have to return to the liberal politics of competence and stop thinking about each other as guilty of some sort of transgression and crime. Even if we just arrived here, you know, 5-10 years ago as immigrants, somehow we're guilty of crimes from the period of slavery. I don't believe in collective guilt. I do believe in collective responsibility. If the least among us in our country are struggling, and many of those are blacks, we have a responsibility. That's collective responsibility, not collective guilt. But what the left is doing is invoking collective guilt with a view to destroying everything that we've built. And that's been always the agenda of the hard left, is to destroy the existing state of things. And that's not acceptable. We can't build a world that way.
You know, I got a question for you that I think is really, really relevant here. And that is, I want to talk about a couple of the leaders of the left. Number one, Nancy Pelosi, and number two, Chuck Schumer. Nancy Pelosi has to be incredibly bright to have reached the status that she has reached within the Democratic Party. I don't agree with a lot of what Speaker Pelosi has to say, but I am very, one thing I'm very concerned about is I'm giving her a lot of credit saying that she's a great politician. There's no question about that. I simply don't understand her philosophy, and I don't understand Schumer's philosophy, and I'm not at all as familiar with Chuck Schumer as I am with Speaker Pelosi. What is the rationale, in your opinion, sir, behind the two leaders of the Democratic Party right now?
Well, Nancy Pelosi is a very interesting character, and like you, I can't speak too much to Chuck Schumer, but let me say something about Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi's father was the mayor of Baltimore.
Right.
And Baltimore, like so many cities in the mid-20th century and still today, was a city run like a patronage network. So you figure out who you want to have on your side. You somehow get resources to them. And that's how you build a coalition. And that's Nancy Pelosi's genius. She learned from her father how to build a patronage coalition, a coalition of dependencies, so to speak. Now, Nancy Pelosi she's not as left as she needs to be at the moment. And what I mean by that is that she and Schumer and Biden, and I would actually even put in Hillary Clinton, while they lean left, they're not really hard left. Mm-hmm. But I think what Pelosi has concluded as a consequence of her dealings with AOC and a number of others who in the younger members of the Democratic Party, and as a consequence of her watching Bernie Sanders and that whole wing of the party, she has concluded that she's going to try to be the broker for the whole thing. And here, I think we have to recognize there's a tremendous instability in the Democratic Party, just as the Republican Party continues to be pulled apart between those who, let's call them the neoconservatives and the free market types, on the one hand, and let's call them the Trumpists on the other hand, who believe in modest international positioning abroad, returning our trade to, or returning our manufacturing to the country, saying that families and institutions matter as much as markets. I mean, that's the new development in the Republican Party, and it's not going to go away now that Trump has won. But there is still a tension within the Republican Party. In the Democratic Party, to come back to Pelosi, there's a war. There's a war between those who want to go hard left and the older generation. And this is Schumer, Pelosi, Biden, and Clinton. And I think that what we have to watch is the extent to which Nancy Pelosi can give the hard left a bit of what it wants, but still maintain control of the Democratic Party. Because, as you said, she's smart enough to know that if you go hard left, the Democratic Party is going to be thrown out. So that's what we really need to watch. Does Biden come up with policies which appease portions of the left, or does he really capitulate to the left? And the same is true of Pelosi. This is the thing to watch. You know, there's two populist movements in America. We forget this. There's the one that ultimately voted for Trump, which began with the Tea Party movement. But then there's the other one, far left, the Occupy Wall Street movement.
Yeah.
And that one, very briefly, is the one that's at war now with the old, the guard, Clintons, the Pelosis, the Schumers, the Bidens.
Yep. Josh, we're going to take a real quick break here for a commercial. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be right back with one of the most interesting guests I've had in a long time, Josh Mitchell. Thank you, sir. Be right back.